How the heck are you guys? Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Are you getting your to-dos together for the new year? I hope so. I like to think of them as intentions. I like to hold them lightly, though. I think we can get really perfectionistic at the beginning of the year and be like, here's my resolutions, and I'm going to perfectly do them forever. And then 3 weeks in, when you can't perfectly do them because people aren't perfect, there can be a little shame spiral, and that's a bummer. So I say none of that for any of us this holiday season. Let's just be like, you know, this year I'd like to be a little more shabbity-bow, and then maybe you can. And then on the days when you aren't, mercy and love, mercy, compassion, and love. Always, always, always. We're showing ourselves some mercy, compassion, and love this week, and we are taking another week off. Cassidy is in Costa Rica being a badass, and I am in the mountains of Colorado. It's stunning here. Stunning. And I just spent some time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was a delight with my dad. We had a little, not little, we had a big family tragedy. My stepmother passed around Thanksgiving. And so my sister and I have been flying in to support my dad and just be there for him and do what we can. And it's actually been really bonding for all of us and really kind of nice. So we did some of that. And we came up here and we're doing some Telluride, Uray, Silverton, Colorado fun times. So as such, we are re-releasing an episode from one of our early, early season times, and we hope you enjoy it. Also, for those of you who don't know, I have started a theater company, which is called Sixth Line Studios. Our first show starts rehearsing in February, which is really soon, you guys. And we open March 2nd, which is really, really soon. And I say that because we have a GoFundMe to raise the money we need to put this show together. The GoFundMe funds support the lighting designer, the cost of the venue, to pay the actors, to pay myself, the director, to pay the set designer, to pay the person who will build the set, to pay the sound designer. It costs a lot of money to produce plays, sad to say. And so we need your help. So there is a GoFundMe attached to this. Wherever you got this, in the liner notes about this, there is a link to our GoFundMe. And if you could click it and just donate anything at all, we've raised $9,000 toward our $20,000 goal. I'm really proud of that. But we have a short time to raise the remainder of it. And so we do need your help. So if you have anything extra left over after the holidays, we'd appreciate it totally. Also, my writing and alignment class begins January 5th, I believe it is. It's the first Friday in January. And this is a class for people writing anything, really. It's a class where I give feedback, professional writing feedback each week for writers developing screenplays, essays. I have so many different kinds of writers, stand-up comedy, novels, nonfiction literature, any kind of writing project that you need support developing and getting written and getting out there, this is a class for you. So you can go to katierubin.com and click on Writing in Alignment, hop on into that. It's a six-week online class. We meet once for feedback each week, and then we meet a second time for an hour to write together. So it's also a great accountability class where you're going to get a lot of work done just through the 6 weeks. And what else? Star Beings, my mid-level to advanced energy healing class, starts again January 25th. Check out katierubin.com for more info about that. Click on Star Beings. And lastly, OMA Pittsburgh, my healing class, my reduced price healing class, begins really soon. I think it's the first week of January. You could go to omapittsburgh.org, omapittsburgh.org, click on events and look for my name in the class title, and you'll see that's my affordable energy healing class. We're going to be using the tool of neuro-emotional technique combined with divine light transmission to process anything stuck in your nervous system to get you to be free of your past. No big deal. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for being listeners. We so appreciate you. You guys are the whole deal. So here is an episode from Not Now. Love you.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you ask me. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting the passion through every. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okay, so what's funny about that, we're joking about, like, we can ask the record keepers what day of the week our podcast should be released. And the thing is, that's like the teachers who teach people like myself how to do this shit, they're like, just be careful you don't start getting fucking crazy with this shit and being like orange or apple, you know, because you
what
can,
should I put on my sandwich today?
100%. And like, I will fully cop to being in that camp where I'm like, because the fact is, and it's an interesting point, like the fact is that, like, sometimes if you wait an hour to go to the grocery store, you run into someone important. Or sometimes if you don't wait an hour to go to the grocery store, you miss traffic. So like, it kind of matters.
Right. And why not get all the information you can?
Exactly.
But it feels a little bit like an abuse of,
well, you
not
know,
power, but like, it's like asking.
No.
It's be like asking your teacher, like, every, how to spell every word. It's,
yeah,
a
but
little
I don't,
obnoxious.
I don't see it that way. Okay. I see, because God doesn't give a shit. The universe is like, sure, whatever you want to know.
We have infinite.
It's just
capacity.
Sitting there existing and creating. It doesn't care. But the thing about,
see,
it.
See, I have an image of a bunch of folks sitting in a room waiting to get a call, and like a call center. And if the call center's chill, that's fine. But if it's like, Jesus, again?
So, okay, you're anthropomorphizing God.
Absolutely.
Which is so dumb.
And I'm also pluralizing.
And well, that makes more
sense.
But the real thing is, or like what we're taught anyway, and what I feel, is that you can start to really disempower yourself by being like,
oh,
I don't know things. I have to open the records all the time to be like, do I eat cheese or not? And it's like, you know, you can eat cheese. Like, make a choice.
Yeah.
And own your choices. But it's a paradox, because at the same time, I mean, I am someone who, this is a cool conversation, actually. I'm someone who, Cassidy, like, nine times out of 10, if I ask first, or at least open the records and get myself in a different spiritual state than where I am before I've opened them in the day I'm in, everything goes better. Flow, ease, peace, joy, opportunity, everything goes better. So much better, which is why I freaking do it. And why I'm so into it and like love it, because it actually works. But you could easily argue like I'm overdoing it and I should just be a person and just drive my car and just deal with traffic. But I don't fucking wanna.
All right. So my terrestrial version of that is that I think this has something to do with being a 3 on the Enneagram, possibly, because I rely on everybody else to be like, to help create my self-image and everybody else's perception. But I think a corollary of that is that I have a hard time making decisions, aesthetic decisions, whatever, any kind of decision. And some of that has to do with, so I'll ask 17 people.
Right.
If they like these pants or whatever, or if I should go to New York or whatever.
Like, yeah.
I won't just be like, what's the answer? I know I have internal wisdom.
Right.
And I'm aware of that. So I work on it and I get better at it. But yeah, so I've sort of outsourced my agency to everybody else.
Well, and what's interesting, I hear that loud and clear. It's like two different versions of a similar thing. But here's a concept we could play with, is that in theory, if one is aligning oneself to the source of all that is, okay, kind of the whole thing of this podcast, for me anyway, is like looking at the thing of like, there is no separation between spirit and us.
Right.
Like there's no like God out there somewhere mysterious in the sky. And then I'm here. And what do I do, God? It's more the idea of I am that which creates everything. I am made up of the stuff that of the thing that creates all the things.
Yeah.
I am that, which is why that famous book exists called I Am That, which is a
never heard of it.
Very famous spiritual Vipassana, I believe.
Okay.
Non-dual teachings book.
Non-dual?
Yeah, so non-dualism is a very kind of big movement in the sort of, it's one arm of like ways to meditate and know God through the Hindu Sanskrit lineages. So there are a lot of what's called non-dual teachers. And so non-dualism says like, I am that. I am God. I am the chair. I am death. I am fucking. I am soda pop. I am this doggy's love. I am my heart. I am that. Right. And so the point being, it theoretically, if we're aligning with source and we are that to make decisions, we're actually aligning to a vibrational frequency of our own selves that is quote unquote higher, simply meaning higher doesn't mean better. From a judgment place, higher simply means if you align with this vibration, you're going to have an easier, more fluid outcome. You're going to have an outcome that flows in the river of your life, if you will. So theoretically, by tapping in and asking questions in the records before you go to the grocery store, you're not like outsourcing your power,
right,
because you're actually tapping into what's the truest for you.
Would you say
which, by the way, is the opposite of what I just said a second ago, where I was like, maybe I'm disempowered. But that's my point, is
right,
that, and there's a Buddhist saying that I really like, which is everything is true and its opposite, which is true if you think about it. Like up,
and it's also not true. Hey!
So there's up and there's down, and they're both existing, and neither of them exist.
Right.
Meaning in the realm of oneness, okay, there is no up-down. There's just beingness. But in the realm of duality, where we live on planet Earth, three-dimensional reality, there is up and there is down. So both there is up and down and there isn't up and down. They're both occurring.
First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
Namaste.
That's actually a song by, what's his name? Old 60s singer. I'll think of it later.
No, but 100% that. Because, and in the new non-dual language, the way they would say it is, there's the relative realm and the absolute realm. And in the absolute, it's only unity and oneness, and there is no up, down, left, right, good, bad, right, wrong. But in the relative realm, right here,
uh-huh,
or in the Sufi language, they would call it the mulk realm, right here, you and me on this chair. Mulk, M-U-L-K. It's yeah, like almond milk.
It's mulk.
Mulk.
More like, I think oat milk would be
oat
mulk.
Oat milk would be mulk.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, Donovan is the artist that I was quoting.
Thank you.
It's that's important. Wow. We complete.
For the OCD people listening.
Yeah, I'm a completionist.
I have you're to. You're right. Like, a completionist.
Yeah.
Sexy. Do you wear like a special robe?
I do. I mean, it's a completionism.
Does that have to do with
it's a really thorough robe. Like every button is buttoned.
Does it have to do with zippers? Ejaculating or not?
No, at all.
Really?
Wow. I did not.
You said completionism.
Jesus, no, it absolutely does. It's all it's about.
Okay, so orgasm as the way to God.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely, because there's no separation between orgasm and God.
And I know we're being silly, but it's also true.
Right.
There isn't.
Yeah.
And in fact, so recently my healer and I were talking about like the depth of the truth of the fact that like without orgasm, like orgasm really truly does do
it's creation. It's well, part of creation.
It's literally part of it is like how we create life.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And also, okay, this is going to sound however it sounds, but the spiritual people understand that like orgasm is literally bringing earth energy to God energy and back again.
Okay.
Because if you think of, so the first chakra, the bone town,
uh-huh,
the pain and the vajage and the other, whatever you have down there, when that like lights up and gets excited, when you come, Kundalini energy shoots up your spine when your Kundalini uh-huh is awakened, which is a different.
You're like your third eye or something, isn't it?
Well, it shoots all the way up your spinal column and up and out the crown.
Oh, right.
When your Kundalini's channels are open and when. But the point being, what's available through Tantra or through Kundalini awakening or through just boning with consciousness is the lowest.
Can that please be another podcast, though?
Boning
with consciousness.
With consciousness, absolutely. That's pretty much this podcast.
I mean,
that's
what we're doing. Because we are engaging in intercourse right now.
I'm going to murder you. I'm going to murder you from God's love.
I know.
In your dick hole.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to All the Answers with Katie and Cassidy. If we haven't said, I'm Cassidy Brown, actor and friendly skeptic,
and I'm
comedian
Katie
and improviser,
Rubin.
And this is, sorry?
Yeah, it's good.
You talk.
And I'm Katie Rubin, Akashic Records reader, energy healer, actress, comedian.
Yeah.
Friend of Cassidy, Jamal Jackson Warner, Malcolm Jamarner, Wall, Brown.
And I am also a friend of Katie.
Okay, just to finish that thought, because I'm a completionist as well, apparently.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
From what I heard.
Let's co-complete. is that, so you're boning. You got P and the V. Or you got a V on a V, or a P and a P, or nothing in everybody, who cares?
Right.
Sexy time is happening. Kundalini arises through the spinal column, shoots up to the crown chakra, which is how we connect to God.
Uh-huh.
And then form and not form become one thing. That's why the bliss of orgasm exists. Like,
because there's a specific actual form. There is a material.
Your body.
Yeah. And the emission itself is in some cases material.
There's the form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the not form is the sort of more the energy and the feeling and the.
The not form is the oneness you get when you come. Where you go like, like the bliss,
yeah,
the opening, the release, the connection with your partner, right?
Yeah.
So in the moment of bliss, And if you stay with it, there's a lot we could say about this, but there's, you guys are like, look, keep saying it, say it faster, but look me in the eye while you say it.
Cause I want to know what happens when you Christerbate.
What?
I don't do this, but people have described the idea of like both masturbating and crying at the same time because you're sad and angry.
Christerbate. I thought you meant Christerbate, like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing that I probably don't want to get
hilarious.
Into.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I want to get into it. Yeah. Desmond's got his arms wide open like he's on the cross. So here's what Christerbating is in my mind.
Okay.
You're looking at Jesus on the cross.
We just lost half our viewing. Viewing, listening.
You're staring up at naked Jesus.
Hunky
with his
Jesus.
Little fucking loincloth.
Yeah.
And you're in a church and nobody's there, but you're not sure because the nun might come back any second and you're jerking it or rubbing it, whatever you're doing. That's Christerbating.
Yeah.
But it has to be in a church where someone right. might
Well, so
in.
That's easy. That one, the oneness is simple. That I see the relationship there. But what about when you're just sitting alone and creating an orgasm, but it's out of like grief sadness. And anger. I have no idea what this is about.
That's
though.
Just called Saturday. That's just
Saturday.
Called Saturday. That's just called what I do when I'm got nothing else going on.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I interrupted a very deep thought.
Anyway.
It's my job.
Just that the form and non-form become one thing in the moment of orgasm.
Okay.
And the end. And that's how you live in the realm of the absolute and the realm of the relative at the same time. That's why people like coming.
Yeah.
They don't know that. They think they like coming because it feels good in my body parts.
Yeah.
But also because you're fucking with God, legit with the source of all that is in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not what everybody calls it. And that's fine.
That's fine.
Except that we're going to kill everyone
if you
who
have
doesn't
complaints
agree
about what
we
just
I
said.
Say.
You can hit us up on Twitter at All Answers Pod or on Facebook at All Answers Pod, I believe.
And anyone who doesn't agree with the words I say, we're going to hunt you down and kill you because you're wrong.
Right.
We're right.
Katie is all right.
And everybody else is wrong.
Because we have all the answers.
This is a new religion. Yeah. And the only rule of this religion is I'm right.
And it's called completionism. Katie is completely right.
Done. I think we've agreed we're co-conspirators in the creation of completionism. So you're also
so.
Right.
I'm a demigod in this religion.
That's perfect.
Katie is the cult leader.
I love it. Okay,
and I am her muscle.
all right. Speaking of all of that, we both posted on Facebook before last time? Hey, guys.
Before.
Here's what I exactly posted. I said, if you could directly ask any question of the higher forces, the universe, God, what would it be? And then I'm going to read now a bunch of the comments we got, and we're going to choose together in the realm of the relative and the absolute.
Okay. I just want to point
question?
Out that Katie posted it, and then I shared it. Katie got 70 questions. I got no response.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do we attribute that to? My general beauty?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
And popularity.
I see. That's interesting.
And I think it is a reflection on what an unlikable person I am.
Yeah, your lack of value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It reflects directly on my value.
You don't
as
matter
a human.
To me
no.
in any way.
Not at all.
You're basically just space filler. You're just.
I'm just a pretty face to look at across the microphone.
All right. So can we say people's names?
I think you should until
permission.
You ask for permission
okay.
on somebody's.
A human mammal said, love this. Why do humans continue to brutally kill and torture each other? I do actually think that's the one I want to do of all these because I've read them all.
Yep.
But let's
I'm
read
a little
them
terrified
all.
Of that one. It's
I
pretty intense.
Love it so much. Oh my God, can't wait.
that's the weirdest response anybody's ever had to the idea of exploring torture and murder.
Except that it's not because who have you not met?
Right, we all have that question.
Everybody wants to know why the fuck human beings continue to brutally kill and torture each other, yeah, right? I mean,
it's true.
Pretty...
We've all had this question.
All right, another human mammal who shall remain nameless asked, how long do I have on Earth?
Who? Do you want to know the answer to
and
that question?
And I wrote back, you really want me to ask? And they wrote back, now that you ask, I'm not sure.
Yeah, 24 years.
Yeah.
I already have the answer. Sorry.
Okay. Another person said, what's really going on here? And I wrote back, can you specify a bit? What exactly do you want to know? And thank you for the question. This person said, oh, okay, I'm going to read the whole thing. This is interesting, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if I read this one because I didn't get back to the response. Over a year ago, I asked some questions and I've been exploring the awareness I received ever since. It's about the nature of good versus evil on the planet, and it's led me to some really, really interesting places. So I'm asking God, what's the scoop with Satan? What's really going on between Lucifer and God? And although I think I've got the awareness of what Jesus's part was, I would like to know for sure.
Woo! That's...
Yeah. Wow!
And that is definitely... operating within a framework.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a lot of assumptions in here that refer to a particular set of beliefs.
Yeah.
That I don't know what the record keepers would say in response to all of that. Yeah. And you might get a much more woo-woo answer than you're looking for.
Right.
But that's interesting.
Okay.
All right. Another human mammal. What should I do? Can you help me do it, please? And then I wrote, can you be more specific? Do about what? No response.
Right. I think they were being a little flip.
Maybe.
I mean, that is the question we all want to ask, but it's true that we need to be more specific with that question.
Right. Okay. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I ask that question all the time and then like, you know, or in therapy or whatever, it'll be like, what the hell do you mean?
Exactly.
About what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get specific. All right. Someone else said, given that there's no external difference between moving in mysterious Ooh. Ways and just moving randomly, why should I trust you? Also, why childhood leukemia?
It's similar to the why torture and right. murder thing.
I think. I wrote back, trust who? Me? My readings? And this person said, oh, I thought you were asking God universe. You, I trust. And then I said, oh, gotcha. Now I get the question. I'll use it as you intended, is what I said to the person. Meaning what they intended was, given that there's no external difference between moving in mysterious ways and just
that's
moving.
That's referring to the phrase, God works in mysterious ways. So it's a very,
And just moving randomly, why should I trust God?
Yeah. And I think that one is also within a certain framework, at least Judeo-Christian framework of like, because that phrase, frankly, dials back to that first question. I think that first question is a universal question about the universe, but it also is very specifically asked about, like, why is there still torture and murder?
Got it.
That question is often asked of, like, you know, why, if there is a God,
right.
why does God, capital G,
man in the sky
with beard,
yeah.
Why does God allow childhood leukemia? Why does God allow war? And the answer, which is so frustrating, is God works in mysterious ways.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a part of that sort of separateness
yes.
and sort of structural.
Religious
structural. Like, well, the bureaucracy up top,
right.
God at the
right.
top of this bureaucracy,
the hierarchy
who has power
right.
in a way that he can say yes or no to a thing.
Correct.
Allow, disallow.
Yeah.
Why does God, you know, I think it's a valid question because it questions like the whole validity of that structure.
Correct. And you
mind.
And I are just living so far out of that structure
yeah.
that it's sort of irrelevant. But I like yeah. these questions because I think so many people people are everywhere around the world, like waking up and
yeah.
trying to break. They're like, something bigger than me and my small ego exists. There is some kind of unifying something, maybe.
Yeah.
Heart, love. What is that? You know, divine.
String theory.
Yeah. String theory. Like mystery happens. How did I run into you again on the street when we just blah, 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 yeah. blah. But they're not okay with like conforming to the Judeo-Christian structures. So
right.
they're like, where do I go?
We can actually call it the Abrahamic religion structures.
Indeed. Because of.
Yeah. It includes Islam, which is from the same set of stories.
Correct. So anyway, there's so many people I think who, you know, I was talking in therapy actually this week about how so many people resist the notion of consciousness or divinity or light or any of it because they're angry at religion. So people rebel against religion and what religion
yeah,
did to them.
I absolutely do.
And as a result, well, of course, we all do. If you're like at all sentient or awake or
right.
have your own sense of self, you're gonna at some point rebel against religion.
Right.
If you're awake at all,
right.
you're going to at least ask questions.
Yeah,
like, wait, why these rules
the frameworks.
And who says and who really wrote this fucking book, right? Any
yeah.
of that. But the point being, religion and God are not the same thing. Spirituality and religion are not the same thing. Oneness and religion, not the same thing. And people will say like, oh no, I'm not into all that meditating spiritual shit because my dad was Christian and then they go into a story about their Christian problems. And I go, wait a minute, let's go back to square one. Christian or Judaism or Islam that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about knowing God mystically through your body. We're talking about the presence of the oneness that is. We're not talking about the book some people wrote and then made you follow the rules of.
Right. Now, a lot of people have written books angling you into other aspects of the spirituality, which gives you a structure to operate within. Mm-hmm. But they're not dogmatic, perhaps.
And I would argue that it's even more than that. Like, for example, if you look at any of the Akashic Records books, I brought one today. I think it's in my purse. But the way that the sort of, you could say, New Age people or the people, let's just speak specifically about the Akashic Records.
Okay.
People who teach how to open the records, they're like, here's a prayer. Say it. Now, what do you notice? Oh, okay. And then you'll have an answer. Oh, I feel a tingly feeling in my heart. Cool. Now ask that tingly feeling a question. Is my dog going to die? And then they go, oh, I feel a tightness in my heart. Cool. Now ask a different question. Is this flower pretty? I do think that flower's pretty. I feel an expansive feeling. And so that what an Akashic Records book would do is teach you your way of hearing, knowing, perceiving, and receiving information from that which is.
Right.
So it's not about, here's what's true from my perception in this Akashic Records book, and you should do this now. It's like, here's some tools to tap you into this stuff if you want. And now what do you notice? Like, what I love about one of my teachers, Lisa Barnett, her books is that when everything she teaches, she's like, now ask the record keepers these six questions. Because she's giving people a starting point.
Right.
She's like, say this prayer. Now ask these questions. Now what do you get? And the point is to practice, quote unquote, getting stuff until you have a way that you get stuff.
Right.
So to me, that's not a religion.
Right.
That's a way to tap into something. Now, there are many ways.
Right.
My point of view is that they all work. They all work. All the mystical paths to know the divine, they function. Different people do better with different paths.
Right.
Spiritual
and different
paths.
People warp the paths or use them for weird power.
Exactly.
And more power. Power is like, I feel like,
control
is the problem with any of these, including a lot of New Age spiritual paths. They
100%.
Get used, they get abused, as just like Christianity has, just like 100%. Judaism, and just like all the religions have. None of the religions are free of this. Like Hinduism, Buddhism. Hearing about like Buddhist village that commits, like there's a Buddhist village in Myanmar or something. Where I'm going to get it wrong, but like there was like an ethnic cleansing committed by the Buddhist villagers. You're like, we consider Buddhism to be like free of the trappings of absolutism.
Yeah.
Nope. Anybody can go too far.
100%. But let's make I want to make this distinction. This is important to me that we make this distinction between what is spiritual practice, AKA mysticism, and what is religious belief or followingness?
Okay.
Mysticism or spirituality, as I'm using the word, refers to that which a human individual does to connect directly themselves to the source of all creation, whatever that is for them.
Right.
Mystics are interested in gnostically, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, whatever.
A-L-L-Y.
Thank you. They're interested in gnostically, meaning physically and emotionally and right here now, knowing the divine in the body, not in a theoretical mental way. So spirituality is that which any individual does to connect with that which is creating whatever it's creating.
Okay.
Religion is a set of rules, dogmas, and structures that in the beginning, by the way, were designed to help people have a better mystical experience.
Ah.
Here's the best way it was described to me. When I went to the Sufi healing school I went to called the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism, they said originally what it was supposed to be is religion was the bark of the tree. You are the tree. Religion was these external rules or guidelines that if you did them, it would protect the sap of the tree.
Okay.
The sap of the tree is your spirit or how you connect to source. So spiritual practices create a more activated, cleaner, more tapped in sap, spiritual practices, chanting the name of God, meditating, praying, all the actions we do, clean the sap up and make the sap nice and bright inside of you so you feel happy and good and want to do your life.
Okay.
Religion was the rules that were designed to protect the sap. For example, if you go out and fuck everyone you see and then shoot heroin, later on that day,
Your sap will be a little dirty.
Your sap will be dirty. And you're going to be tired. And you're going to need a lot of water and like 3 days of coming down to like feel yourself again and get connected to the sap.
Yeah.
So they're not saying originally, by the way, that you have to do these rules or you're bad in the eyes of God. They're saying when you don't do this stuff, you'll feel farther away and more confused and less happy.
Yeah.
Now, what human beings did to that, the bark, the religion, is they turned it into being judgment based. If you don't do these things, you're ousted. If you don't do these things, you're bad.
Right.
If you don't do these things, Jesus doesn't love you.
Right.
No.
Then we create heaven and hell.
Yes.
We create a punishment and reward
based
system that is external to the self.
Correct.
And you have no actual real control over it. It's not about what actually happens.
That's right.
To you. It's about, yeah.
Some external something.
It's about a threat.
Now, but here's what's very interesting to me. I wonder if you find this interesting at all, is that in a way, see, this is where everything gets subtle and not black and white. In a way, I'll give a personal example. There are certain things where if I do them, they separate me from what I call source or God or love. And then I have consequences for myself that make it so that I actually don't want to do those things, even though a part of me does want to do those things.
Yeah.
In other words,
You're talking about heroin.
I'm talking about heroin. No. I'm talking about when I shoot heroin into my asshole.
This is what Katie does. Neither of these things are true.
Let's be real specific. I'm talking about like, here's a great example for, this is a good one. Sex with the wrong people.
Ah.
Now, I don't mean wrong like they are wrong or there's something wrong with that person. But there are people who are incorrect for me to have sex with because our connection doesn't bring me closer to myself or to God, that which is animating the self. It actually separates me a little bit to bone certain people. Okay. Other people I bone, I like cry in the act and I feel the presence of love and God is in the room. I'm just saying, I don't have to like come down and relax and take a shower and meditate for 3 hours to get over that.
Right.
I'm doing good with that. But certain people I bone, afterwards I'm like, I need like 3 days and a shower and some beet juice. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
So we...
Or a cleansing or a therapy session.
Exactly. Or to cry or talk to my friend Cassidy or whatever. The point being, it's not that it was bad and wrong that I fucked that person, but it was that it didn't really help me out. It didn't make me feel better. It made me learn something about what I don't desire.
Yeah.
And about what doesn't work for me. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it didn't make me bad or wrong in the eyes of the Lord. He doesn't care. He's not a he. It doesn't care. It's just going like, did you like that, girl? Oh, okay. Well, you can have more.
Right.
Oh, you didn't like it?
That? Well, maybe don't do that again. You can tell that it doesn't feel good. So I don't need to judge you.
Yeah.
You've done it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't sit in judgment. It just sits in love. And it goes like, babe, did that make you feel more loved? And you go like, not really. And it goes like, okay, well, you could do it again. But like, you're going to feel it this way again. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
And you go, well, kind of. And it goes, okay, good. Go bone him again. Be fuck in a bathroom in the back of a club. Why not? It doesn't care. It has no point of view.
If you listen long enough, you'll get all the details of Katie's life. You'll find out secrets that you did not know.
Do you know that I would love to fuck in a bathroom in the back of a club sometime soon. Anybody who wants to fuck me, just kidding.
If you're the right combo.
If you are good for my nervous system and my heart. No, but like I love a good creative location for sex, don't you?
Sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
I've had some creative lovemaking recently, but not locationally.
And when you say locationally, you mean geographically.
I mean,
as opposed to where you took it.
This dude fucked me in my right nostril, and it was amazing.
Creative.
Yeah, very creative.
It's a tiny penis, okay. And that's cool.
I'm going to keep reading the rest of these questions.
Please do.
That's one of my favorite things about you is you'll be like, your way of navigating judgmental statements is you'll be like, and that's cool. If you just throw, and that's cool after, you're not judging, except that you are, and I love you. All right. Rando McGee says, what is the point of it all? And I write, you mean existence? And they say, yes, existence. This lady is depressed.
That is a big question.
this one. Why put ideas and desires in my head and heart that will only be thwarted at every turn when I follow my heart?
Oof.
What am I here to do specifically?
Oof.
Wowza. What must I do to stop needing pain as a teacher? That's really good. Wow. There's actually a lot of questions here. Should we pick one since the episode is like flying by?
Yeah.
There's four more. Should I read the rest
of them?
Just
read them. Go. Okay. Run them down.
Somebody said, this is a ridiculously hard question to answer. I keep trying. Great. That doesn't help us. What happens when we die? Does our spirit awareness continue? Great. Okay. Where's the party I'm looking for? LOL. Happy face, happy face, happy face, happy face. How can I stay there permanently? Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up.
Okay. This is a person seeking ecstasy. And I don't mean the drug.
Right.
But maybe I do.
Or both. Someone says, how can I be so consistently in flow with my calling that people experience that life is a fucking miracle?
Oof.
All right.
They're someone else recognizing
said,
it.
Right. Someone else said, why? And I'm like, we already have that question in a couple forms, but thank you. Great question. And then my friend in India, who's a little bit of a D-bag, says, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Then he says, because even God needs a laugh sometimes. Except that that didn't make us laugh.
Right.
Or did it? It kind of made you laugh.
No, when you called your friend a D-bag, it's what made me laugh.
I love him. He's just also a little bit of a D-bag.
Yeah. Does he know this? Is he not going to be
now.
Like hurt by hearing this?
Now he knows. Okay. No, but I think he and I are, let's answer that question because let's be real. We're such good friends that he knows if I'm calling him a D-bag, I'm kidding. Yeah. It'd be like if I called you a D-bag on somewhere, you'd
single
be like,
tier.
Oh, Katie's just being Katie.
Yeah.
All right. So which question, you guys? Fucking hell, son of a horse.
Yeah.
Should we go back to the torture one?
I mean,
we'll
just go to the torture one. I don't know why. I just don't feel like getting depressed today, but that's okay.
Yeah. My favorite is when people come to a healing session and it's the first time we've ever worked together. And I go, okay, cool. Where would you like to start? And they go, what's my life purpose?
Yeah. You're like, wow.
And I'm like, all right, hold up. What's happening today and what are you worried about? And then they get to like, oh, I'm broke and have no money. And I go, okay, let's start there. I talk to people all the fucking time. People call me. I do sessions all the fucking time. And you'd be amazed by the difference in the answer you get depending on the person. This is a specific individual whose records I'm going to open. So we may hear a very specific thing for that person to hear in response to this question. Now, I could do it a different way. I could open my records and just ask my record keepers, hey, what's your response to this question for the sake of humanity to understand?
Yeah, I think we should go individual for now. That's my thought.
For this person?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just, like, we can go with that question, but let's keep it, like, what do they need to hear?
Although it's such a universally interesting totally question. Is. What if we do both? We can open my records. Go. I'll ask what they want me to say to everyone. And then we can open this person's records and see if there's any difference.
Sure.
Because there may not be.
Let's do yours and then see if we want to do a second.
I'm going to open my records and ask my guides to tell me what they want me to say to humanity. Like, theoretically, we're talking to a lot of people right here with this podcast. What would they like everyone?
Tens. We're talking to tens of people.
What would they like everyone to know? And then is it different for this person whose name I'm not going to say?
Okay.
And let's see what they say.
Yeah.
We're going to get such varying answers depending. I mean, we could ask the central question of existence right now. And tomorrow something different will happen if we, like, in other words, I'm not concerned that we're going to run out of material if we go straight for the gold because for so many reasons, like we just won't. But I understand that concern. Yeah. Right.
Too big.
Today's the day. All right.
Let's do it.
So it's going to take me a little minute here to get open. I forget. Did we say the prayer out loud last time?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll do that. I'm going to have to leave this person's name out of it, so I'll just say it silently when I get to their name. But first, I'll do mine. Oy, God, I just look at this prayer and my energy starts to change. Like
wow.
That, my neck just started to open. It's amazing. Okay, so let's all just, for the sake of the space in the room being conducive to this being easy for me, if you're okay with that, just kind of take a couple deep breaths into your low belly. Imagine that you have a connection to the center of the earth that is energetic in the form of like a cord or a tunnel or a tube that connects from the center of the earth up to your tailbone. Just an energetic channel that taps you into the earth. And then just imagine that your heart center in the center of your chest is open. And if it isn't, you can just say a little intentional thing inside of yourself, like, hey, heart center, would you please open a little more? And just you can visualize it too, like a little chakra or a spinning sphere that begins to expand and open, like a sphere of white light that becomes golf ball size and then softball size and then basketball size. Okay, so by the power of divine light within us, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of light, Spirit of truth, for the highest good of all throughout time, fill our hearts with divine love as I humbly ask permission to open the divine portal to the highest realm of the Akashic records of me, Catherine Lauren Hardy Rubin. Akashic beings of light, guide me to the deepest truth of my being, releasing any blocks and restrictions to my abundance and highest good. Lords of the Akashic records, assist me to fully embody my soul's light, to fulfill my soul's purposes, and to heal any accumulated karma. Surround me with the enlightenment and wisdom of my master's teachers and loved ones. Clearly direct my perspective and actions to those that manifest my divine plan. So now I'm going to go quiet for just a sec while I say this silently, which is how this process works. Okay, free of all resistance, judgment, and fear. I'm now filled with divine love and the records are open. Okay, so something they want me to explain already is part of why we go kind of slow with the opening of the records here, or I do, is because, and we sort of touched on this last time, is that a big part of connecting to source is being with one's feelings. So there's a real kind of dropping into myself that happens when I do this, where I get much more deeply connected to myself. And in so doing, I become very present to my own feelings and all the sensations in my body. And then the light is here and available, and the record keepers are here and available, and source energy is very palpable and present. But they're both happening. So it's, you know, they talk a lot, the record keepers, about feelings being the midway point between spirit and body. We talked about this last time. Yeah. So if we rush it, there's a way that I'm not going to be as in touch with my feelings. And then what'll happen is I'll miss the subtleties they're delivering. Because as I may have said before, I tend to receive information quite kinesthetically. So I'm getting a lot of my information from my body when I ask questions. So if I'm not super in touch in the moment and present to every feeling, which is intense, then I miss stuff and then I misspeak, and we don't want that. Okay, so the question was, record keepers, we have someone asking, why do humans continue to brutally kill and torture each other? And you know what? Something else I'll reveal here while we're asking this question is, I usually do about an hour of this stuff by myself, and I clear out everything in my own system that comes up as I sleep, or that came up from the day before, or that needs processing, or whatever. I do that in the morning, and I didn't today. So I'm just noticing as I open the records, my own kind of heaviness from my own just being a human being experience is there. So I'm just going to say briefly, record keepers, I'm asking you to clear all that that would be in the way of me healing, I mean, hearing correctly, clearly, and directly what you'd like me to deliver for all the people who might be listening in response to this question. So if you just give me a moment to let that happen. Okay, so why do human beings, record keepers, continue to brutally kill and torture each other? All right, you have free will on this planet. You always have. You always will. The human experiment is just that. It is an experiment in consciousness wherein that which creates created choice and the possibility for duality. And human beings have the opportunity in any given moment to choose whatever they desire. As the human experiment continues to unfold, human beings evolve or don't. And as they do so, they come to understand the pleasures or lack thereof of the choices they make. And as a result, some of the human beings choose to choose that which creates more peace and ease and love and light and joy in their bodies and in their relationships with one another. And other human beings do not. Other human beings choose to create more discord or disharmony or war or fighting. They always, when human beings choose these latter choices we mention here, They always think it's for a good reason. They always think it's the best thing available. It's the choice that will create what they're looking to experience. So you could argue that they are misguided, and or you could just understand that they're making a choice that makes sense to them. Now, you might make a different choice because you desire to experience more peace and harmony, oneness and love. So you might not murder and brutally torture people. But some people, A, don't have the experience of peace and love in their bodies ever. They have no frame of reference for what that is. So all they know is war, torture and torment. So they just do what they know. They have literally no experience of what peace and love and harmony and love is. So why would they choose it? Why wouldn't they brutally kill, torture, murder each other? They're in war-torn Syria or wherever they are. And they're think of each individual human being's family, home, childhood, raising, the cultural context they were born into, their own mental, emotional, spiritual, psychic, brain chemistry and physiology and lineage trauma. So there are so many factors to way when one is asking this question that one must understand the individual torturers and brutal killers they're speaking of. So if you were to say to us, for example, why did Charles Manson brutally torture da, 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 we would have one response. If you were to say, why did this guy in Syria who put a bomb in his body do it, we would have another response. Is this satisfying? Are there follow-up questions in the room?
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing is, the why question implies that there is some external allowing of it, I think. Or I think that's the framework in which I hear the question. And what I'm hearing is that, no, that is a completely human action, and that is it. Humans are the ones doing the thing. So there is no, why does God allow it?
Well, this doesn't say, why does God allow it? This right. says, why do humans continue to right. brutally kill and torture each other? And the answer is what they say, which is because they can.
And because they think it's right.
And they think it's right. And they have a history that has led them to choose that.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's more here. We could look at a specific individual if we like.
Right.
Why did, you know, whoever, why did the people who flew into the Trade Center do that? You know, why did, you see?
Right.
That would be, it would just, there's subtle distinctions
right.
between. I'm just asking if you feel satisfied with the response because we don't have this person in the room.
I feel satisfied in that it's actually quite stark and simple.
Mm.
It's not a big spiritual revelation. Mm-mm. I don't think it is. I think it's just, it's satisfying in that it kind of fits in my reality of like, because they're fucked up. Like it's with judgment. I have judgment about that, but. Because this, the awful part of that whole story is that it's one thing to have, I believe this is right, and so I will act in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that being is that there are
consequences. People get murdered.
There are, and they are outside of oneself. They are other people who are victims of that. I think this is right.
Sure.
And that's the horrifying tragedy of it.
Like, well,
it's one thing to have your own shit that you got to work out. It's another for your shit to be worked out on someone else.
Well, now there's more to say here. Destruction and chaos, death, transformation, darkness are literally and exactly part of the healing and creative process. Think of it this way. A flower grows, dies, becomes dirt again. Is it wrong that the flower died, or does the dirt it becomes become soil and fertilizer for the next flower? So some of what is occurring in your reality, three-dimensional human reality on Earth, is natural die-off, you could say, of atoms that need to bump up against each other hard and with pain so that they can die and fertilize the soil of consciousness for the human race. What you have to understand is that consciousness itself in these other realms where we live, for example, where we exist, the beings of light, the Akashic record keepers, and also they're pointing me, this is me, Katie, now, to my higher self. This is a whole other conversation, but I'm not sure we go here yet. But well, just for the sake of conversation, okay, my higher self exists as like a council member in a council of high beings of light that are here to elevate consciousness, make it lighter, brighter, softer, bring people to their higher selves, help people have more harmony, love, peace, etc. That's what my higher self is. So as we're looking at this question, there's the record keepers who are, you know, individuated aspects of God that live as they sort of, you could say, took on a little job, and their little job is like, I'll keep track of everything that ever happens to this soul called Katie Rubin. Then there's my higher self. Now, both the record keepers, or the beings of light in the records, and my higher self live, if that word isn't exactly correct, but exist in a realm of consciousness where they've solved these problems gazillions of times over. There is no war and kill each other. They're just like, you know, they're just so far beyond that. They're so clear that that's not what works, or it's not what they desire. It's not how they desire to live, these beings. However, they witness and recognize the presence and importance of other choices, even in their reality. I see them right now looking around their reality, them specifically speaking to these council members, my higher self, looking around their dimensional reality going, oh, right, over in that universe over there, or in that galaxy or something, those guys are fighting each other. And oh, over there, those people are warring and they want to steal their land and have their gold and la la la. So even these high beings that like have evolved way past needing this kind of warring way of functioning, they're aware. I mean, they're looking at it happening all over the universe and going like, yeah, it's happening. So creation itself has a destructive element. When the Big Bang occurs, it explodes nothingness into somethingness. Okay, even if you think the Big Bang is just a metaphor, whether it's literal or a metaphor, nothing, something. In the somethinging, rocks, let's say, atoms, molecules are formed. They take form. And then they break apart and explode and expand infinitely in every direction. That's destructive. So human beings, we want to believe that that destruction is not required in order for higher consciousness to exist. But in fact, it is. In other words, you need so many explosions to occur before a planet forms, for example, right? A planet forms because some rock slams into another rock, an explosion of so much heat and fire that would obliterate the entire human race in an instant occurs. And then over thousands and thousands of years, like little nuggets of that explosion congeal together because of gravitational pulls, and then a planet comes into being. That didn't happen peacefully. It didn't happen right through meditation. It happened through fucking destruction. By the way, I, Katie Rubin, am very much watching this conversation happen and going like, this is not where I expected this to go at all. So I don't know what's going to come next. I'm just going to keep going, and we're almost done. So I hear some questions in the air, but we'll get there. So destruction is a part of creation. It has to exist. And it's not necessarily the case that humanity needs to A, survive, or B, become harmonious. Maybe the human experiment ends with like, nah, those guys just fought a lot and everybody died. Cool. You know how many billions of planets there are? Universe doesn't care. The universe is like, well, that was an interesting experiment. Which comes back and brings us back to the most important point present in the consciousness of this conversation, which is the question of choice. Individual human beings always have choice. Now, they may not know they have choice, which is part of why you're here. You two are creating this conversation to help people wake up to the notion that they have choice. You can choose harmony in any moment. And Katie Rubin is an example of when you can't choose harmony. She was very disharmonious most of her life and can still be to this day, as you know. But no longer is her inner disharmonium destructive to her or others in the way it used to be. She was quite destructive before, and she knows this and isn't afraid of this. But the choice she made was to face that in herself, bring light to it, consciousness, and choose new actions of behavior. That's a choice she has. Murderers who brutally kill and torture each other, they also have a choice, but they don't yet realize they have a choice. Why? Maybe the torturer of a person in a prison camp in, you know, Afghanistan has been so tortured themselves and raised in a culture that has taught nothing but torture that literally they don't know a different reality. They don't know they can choose until the pain and suffering of the choices they make creates a desire for a new experience. But that human being may live their entire life and never have that experience of wanting a new experience. They may just stay with torture because that's what they know. So there are many paradoxes, we are aware, within what we're saying. And please remember, you know, everything is, oh boy, this is a quote from a system, but everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. As we say, Buddhism, everything is true and its opposite. Destruction is required for creation, and individuals have choice. So the question for you, humanity, is what do you choose? What do you choose? Do you want to elevate and become a new consciousness and become a non-warring planet or not? It's okay. We love you. We are the love. You have free will. This is the gift of your experience. Namaste. Now, we were going to open this person's records, but I wonder if we need to.
I think we should just talk about what we just heard, because I have thoughts.
All right. What you got?
It's at once satisfying and unsatisfying for the same reason that I was, I think, afraid of with any big question, any huge question like this, on the spiritual realm, in the great universal view, everything that has been said is, yeah, of course, destruction is necessary, all these things. We are asking the question from the point of view of a suffering individual human body. And so we, as observers of suffering, I think for me, the word is suffering, because like we talk about the flower dying. I have no problem, I have no problem with death. Death is great.
So you're asking, why do we have to suffer?
Yeah. And why do people, well, yeah. So it's fine to look at it from the big, huge, you know, zoomed out view that says, yeah, well, I guess we, you know, crush, smash, bang, all those things are part of the big, great fabric of creation. And I agree with that.
Do you want to ask the question, why is there suffering?
Maybe.
For the human individual? Because they're already talking.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Because that's what you're asking.
Well, what I'd rather ask is, how can we get less of it? Like, how do we reduce suffering? That's what haunts me every moment, is thinking about the fact that with these great philosophical overviews, there is still a person just down the street in great pain.
Okay, here's the answer.
Yeah.
So you ask, how do we get less suffering? Again, there is a paradox you may not enjoy.
It's okay.
But one, you must suffer more. In other words, it is true, the axiom, the paradox, the cliche, the only way out is through. The way to suffer less is to never, ever, for a millisecond, avoid your suffering. As you don't avoid your suffering, you experience the suffering. The suffering elevates and transmutes to love. Every time when we face suffering and bring light, love, consciousness, or connection with each other, because by the way, light, love, and consciousness exists just from human heart to human heart. So whether you share it with a human or bring the light of God to it or meditate on it or whatever you do, go for a run, whatever you do with your suffering elevates it, transmutes it, and brings it to love, so that eventually you become a walking, talking beacon of light and love. That's what's possible for the human race. However, what that requires is that people be very committed to self-responsibility and doing their own work. What most people like to do instead is suffer, complain, and never change anything. Suffer, complain, and collude with one another about what we're mad about. But nobody goes into the suffering to transmute it and turn it into what it's already pointing to. When there is suffering in the individual, there is the kernel of the possibility of becoming love. Love is under suffering. It's right under there. But you have to go through suffering to get to the love. Suffering transmutes into love, but only if you go to the center of it. Most human beings spend their entire existences, everything they can do to avoid suffering. And that perpetuates suffering.
Right. I am with that, especially from the point of view of those who are suffering and committing atrocities. They, you know, they need to make different choices and go through. And I'm thinking more of the 12-year-old girl who has been trafficked.
What about it?
She is, in a sense, some people I think have been denied the choice. Mm-hmm. Their free will has been externally denied. They can realize that they have free will and go to a Zen place in their cell, I suppose. It's just terribly upsetting to me to think that that person is literally denied that.
Well, Cassidy, Katie Rubin, your friend in front of you, was denied a lot.
Yeah.
You don't know the half of what she was denied.
I agree.
No, she chose.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we hear you say you have suffering over the 12-year-old girl who has suffering because she wasn't given choice. The point is for you to deal with your suffering about that.
Yeah.
When you do, it will become love, and then you will be emanating love. Same, same for girl. When girl will at some point have enough pain that she will face her suffering over the fact that she had no choice. You are correct that she had no choice. There are privileged positions to be in. Katie Rubin, more privileged than trafficked sex girl who's 12 in Syria, for example. Definitely. So easier for Katie Rubin to sit and face and feel and get a therapist. Great. Good for her. However, and sadly, unfortunately, if you want to frame it that way, or hallelujah, thank God, the solution is the same. To be with one's suffering, to bring light and consciousness to it. That's the key part that many people miss. And then to make new choices. You might say, yeah, but the 12-year-old girl doesn't know that that's the path. That's why we're making this podcast. The part of our job here is to remind humanity that this is possible. She doesn't know. Maybe she hears this and she learns. Ah, I have to face my own pain. I have to do something about it. I have to handle myself. I have to get out of this cage. And if I can't, I pray to God, I die and I come back with a better life or not. We cannot eliminate suffering for you, Cassidy, so that you don't suffer.
Right.
But you can suffer your suffering and in so doing become God. And in so doing, elevate the consciousness of this planet, which is, by the way, what you're doing. Is it unfair that these things happen to the girls and not to you? Of course. And human beings have choice, and this is what they choose. I'll give another example, like Katie Rubin here. I have had many lifetimes of choosing a lot of dark stuff, really bad, mean, self-centered, evil, abusive, pain-inducing for others' choices. How do I know that? Because I can read the Akashic Records and see my past lives. Fine. The fact that I have been all that and done all that and suffered the pain of facing it quadruple exponentially multiplies my compassion. I was that. In order to not hate myself anymore, I've had to do a lot of work to forgive myself, to clear the karma, to behave differently now, to lighten the load of that. And as a result, I know that redemption is. I am walking redemption. If you could see what I see of what I've done to people, and if you could feel in my body how different it feels now, how much lighter and brighter to have transmuted all that past stuck, terrible karmic awfulness, you would understand that I see the world like that 12-year-old is somewhere in her soul's journey. You have to remember, too, one lifetime is really a blip on the radar of consciousness. Yes, you suffer greatly. Your suffering is real. And this is a blip in time. She's somewhere on the road. Whether this is the lifetime where she gets to face her stuff and deal and get empowered and get out of the cage or not, I can't say.
She's a theoretical person anyway, but she exists.
She's real.
There's a description. Yeah.
It's like underneath your question is the please don't let us have to suffer anymore.
Yeah, of course.
But what we say is suffer more, bring light to the suffering and watch it grow into love immediately. Freedom, ease, joy. But people are so angry at spirituality, so angry at spirit that they won't bring light to their suffering because the people who made choices to make religions that abuse other people fucked it up.
Which is the source of many of these sufferings. Yeah.
Correct. So love, God, consciousness itself. We, the beings of light, we offer like love and mercy, transmutation, healing, light and love, peace and hold your hand, harmony, karma, la, la, la. You can come to us anytime and we will give it to you. It's available anytime, but you're angry at us because the people taught you to be. So you don't seek the light. And then you're wondering why you suffer. And I'm listening to that, Katie, here. I'm listening to that and I'm going like, you know, that sounds like you could frame that all of that last stuff as like religion. Like if you don't want to suffer, like give yourself to Jesus. And it's sort of like the paradox is there are truths inside of religion.
Right.
Some of what they say is right on. And a lot of what they say is not.
Right.
But you can't write the entire thing off because there's a lot of bullshit in it. That would be like writing off every human you've ever met. Because everybody's got a bunch of bullshit they're carrying.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of great stuff.
I feel like most of the central figures in most religions have said really similar stuff.
Yeah.
And it mostly just comes down to love your neighbor or love, just love.
Right.
It just comes down to, in some way, love. And then also like, especially Buddhism and Hinduism and other more mystical religions, let's call them. I don't even know if that's the right word, but the word, the concept of oneness, the concept
mystical practices.
Yeah, mystical practices. But and the religions that are sort of attached to those mystical practices.
Or the teachings around them.
All came from this. They all have the same basic idea, which is what you're saying. And then what happens is we layer framework upon book upon
concepts.
Set of laws, upon precepts, upon
concepts.
Yeah. And we elect people to deliver that message with power, and then we lose. And then we get suffering, frankly. It's the source of, I'm going to just for no reason say 80% of the sort of catastrophic level of shit that I see has to do often with religion, or at least the sort of puritanical outpourings of religion, or the extreme structural, you know, problems of white supremacy has religious leanings.
It's the human beings and what they choose to do with the information they're given.
Yeah. And I think
it's not even the religion.
No, but it's what the religion is used for, is used as a hammer. By the human beings.
Who have choice.
Right.
But don't want to know they do.
Yeah.
Here's a last little nugget here. They're just like, remember, like, this is this is a deep paradox and a challenging notion for a lot of people. You kind of, as a human being, you can't transmute this stuff without God, love, light, connection, something of that ilk. You can't transmute suffering into anything useful without that. It's like saying you're going to plant a flower in the backyard, but we're not going to fertilize it or give it water.
Right.
We're just going to like stick it in there. Good luck. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But that's such a challenging notion because of what people did with religion.
Yeah.
So everybody's mad at religion, so nobody can receive the gifts of the spirit.
Right, because they think that that's what spirit is. They think it is religion.
That's right.
I know I have for a really long time
in
my life.
And they'll have to like follow some rules they don't want to follow, or not be who they are, or not be able to talk about sex in a bathroom. And as you notice.
And I wasn't raised in a oppressive religious or in a bathroom. I would not at all. Like, I was, the closest I came was sort of spending time in a Unitarian church, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. That was great. Unitarianism is about as undogmatic a structure as you can get.
They're pretty great.
But it, you know, still has some framework. But that being said, I've watched it. So I react to religion as an observer, have all my life, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. sort of an outside observer in a some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have was fucked up as a kid because the Catholic Church, you know, or whatever. I have, what the fuck is going on over there in mm-hmm. there and in mm-hmm. there and in there and in there and in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched friends go like, what? How would you, what? That's what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all. Just me. That's my, so I'm coming at it from a, not like a casting off the shackles of religion
mm-hmm.
personally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's such a great point, because even you, who hasn't had to cast any shackles off, have had years and years and years of strong points of view against it because of watching, like you say, it out there.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. And also the anger, they're like, yeah, the anger is necessary to get you to break away from the structure. But then there's another step, which people don't do. First, you get angry so you can break away. Then you have to ask a new question. How do I know the light of this without all the cuckoo, woo-woo, hoo-hoo bullshit in it? Because it clearly offers something. How do I do that? How do I get the love of that without having to
have the structure? I mean, some of your strongest fundamentalists are atheists. Hardcore atheists are about as rigid and structured and a lot of them, sorry, but unloving, you know, as a fundamentalist
Christian.
Mm-hmm. And it's this, they're still looking at the world through the same lens, which mm-hmm. is one of sort of dualistic right, wrong, is not, is or is not, you know, and, you know, this book tells me this and this book tells me this, and our books are at odds with each other.
That's right. Right. So I'm still mad at you because I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of, let me cast off the shackles of religion and still allow some unknown light into my heart.
Exactly. Stay open and humble enough in the heart to receive some new information. Like, maybe the religions all have a lot of it wrong and something else is available.
This is a hilarious conversation we're having
today. I do not feel obligated be hilarious.
I agree.
We were hilarious earlier. We'll be hilarious again. People have tolerance, and if they don't, they won't listen to this.
Yeah, that was a...
Where are we with time?
Do you need to close the records? I don't know. I always ask that question.
I want to know what our time is. Okay. Right. So soonish.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. But woof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh.
For allowing that huge question to get put on the table and not solved. That's the, there you go. It was answered, wasn't solved.
I 100% feel it was solved.
That's funny.
I have nothing left that makes me go, I feel no incompletion with that. But that's
you have a very deep understanding of the sort of great, grand, universal
picture
of one. And I have a intellectual grasp of it.
Mm.
And I still feel really shitty about that person suffering, especially the outside, but the person that's not me. I know I have that I can address my own shit, and I feel somehow responsible for everybody else addressing their shit.
Right. So that would be where you need to do more work.
Yeah.
So that you suffer less.
Yeah. This is what I talk about in therapy. I've just started therapy, so I'm going to talk as though I'm this guy who does therapy all the time, but I'm really into the having started it.
Right. But what I'm saying to you is that, like, it's ironic because the very thing you're looking for is available right here, right now, but you think it's out there.
Yeah.
By, like, helping her.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, that gets us into that human question of, like, we still, in the physical, earthly, here we are right now realm, we don't just turn in on oneself and say, well, I'll just fix my light, you know, and then that's it. I'm going to just sit here and bathe in my own fucking light.
Well, there's a lot to say about that. There's a lot to say.
That's
about
a whole
that.
Episode. Yeah. Let's bathing come, in your own fucking light.
Let's look at that. There's a lot there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Just light bathing all
this
day.
This is light bathing. Like, yeah, like acts of service and, mm-hmm. you know, people who are feeding the homeless or working
we'll
at a food bank.
Here's
or,
what we'll say for now is that if you can feed the homeless and serve the people from a place of alignment with your own light, more power to you. But if you're doing it in order to have less suffering for you and you haven't done your own light work, you're not going to find it there.
Yeah. And you may or may not be actually doing, quote, good work.
Because you're coming from a need to fix something inside of you through doing something external. And that never, ever works.
Yeah.
So yes, be of service, feed the homeless, go to the shelters, do the things. Yes. From love only. And from your cup is so full, you can give. Otherwise, it's codependent. And you're trying to leave yourself to fix something over there.
That's those unhealthy twos that we talk about. That's an Enneagram
about
reference.
The two on the Enneagram. Yeah.
The unhealthy twos. They're of service and somehow they're also vampiring.
Like in a cloying way.
Yeah.
I love
of the people
you.
That they're helping. They're
huggy,
sucking their energy
huggy.
Out.
And then you want to vomit.
Or I'm going to serve you at this shelter and then somehow leech all of your soul back into mine. Ugh, yeah. So yeah, got to do your own work.
For
good.
Sure.
Good to think about. Good
that's
to remember.
That's. I think that's our tagline for this episode.
Do your own work.
Do your own work. And religion isn't the problem.
But it's also not the answer.
Correct. Not all of it is.
Right.
Pieces of it are helpful.
Pieces of all of it. There's a reason it exists.
I think we did it, you guys. That's it.
We did it.
And you're like dying of congestion.
I don't know what is going on. I got to do
kept,
my own
like,
work.
Trying to blow your nose away from the mic.
I know you're
I
always like burp into the mic, blow your nose, make them hear your fluids.
hide nothing. You know, that does make me think of this one other thing as we wrap up here that I was listening to. Okay, I was listening to Armchair Expert, which is, you know, I love Dax Shepard's podcast. I listen all the time. He interviewed recently a guy whose name I'm not going to remember right now, unfortunately, who was a hostage negotiator.
Wow.
Who is a hostage, I guess, negotiator. And they had a fascinating conversation, which everybody listened to Armchair Expert, listened to the most recent one. It's so, so good. It won't be the most recent by the time this comes out, but you get the idea. The guy's name is Voss. His last name is Voss, V-O-S-S. So it's that episode. Anyway, one of the things that this Mr. Voss says in the conversation is he says, there's a difference between someone who is a straight shooter and someone who is blunt. Nobody likes somebody blunt, but people love a straight shooter.
Okay.
And he made a distinction where he said, a straight shooter tells you like it is, but they take into consideration how it's going to land.
Yes.
Now, that is all a comment for me about me, where I listened to that and I've played that podcast over and over that episode. And I keep coming back to that sentence and going like, okay. All right. It really matters how we say things.
Yes.
It really does.
I will go off on this concept. This is a very important idea to me.
Because if the person can't hear the information you're giving, you haven't given it.
Yeah. That's tied into theater in a big way. You have actors who are like, well, but I'm feeling it. But we can't hear you.
Yeah.
And you're on a stage.
Right.
And this is a theater.
We need to
like,
hear you.
It doesn't matter what you're feeling.
Yeah.
if we can't hear you. It matters to you, but you can sit in a room and feel. But in order for it to be effective in what is intended, mm-hmm. it must be heard or mm-hmm. seen or taken in, experienced. And that has to do with framing too. Like someone just says, I'm going to tell you that your shirt is ugly. Mm-hmm. Guess what they're not going to hear? Helpful, useful tips on dressing. They're going to hear, fuck you.
Yeah, they're going to react.
Yeah, and they're not going to hear the message. So it was not a useful piece right. of information. So you weren't being a straight shooter. You're being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a difference.
You're being blunt.
Yeah, blunt yeah. and asshole. And straight shooter is someone who like, oh, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but I'll but care about right. how you hear it.
Well, this is another thing. Feelings are part of facts. Mm. Feelings do not replace facts. Facts do not replace feelings. When I work with some of my clients where I teach them like presentation skills,
yeah.
they're like, no, but it's only the information because they're mostly scientists.
Right.
I'm like, guess what will never get across to your audience unless you include your feelings on the subject.
That's right.
That's what makes it interesting. So that has to do also with just like effectiveness of delivery. Like, oh, I want you to know something. In my highest intelligence, I'm able to go, oh, it's probably best delivered with this, not coating, not shielding, but like this.
Through this emotional frame.
Yeah. Rather than just being blunt and saying a thing.
Right. Information.
Information.
With no heart.
With no heart.
Or yeah, humanity.
There you go. Everything requires heart.
It does.
Everything requires love.
I think that's where, I'm not even sure why I brought that quote up. Except
maybe that's
that
why.
I think that's what we're talking about here is that like for myself as an 8 on the Enneagram, not a fucking 2, I have such a tendency to be
we're
like.
We're sorry, 2s. We just have a lot of problems with 2s.
We got issues, 2s. We got to work our own stuff around the 2s. But is that, you know, I can just be so blunt and I can be so direct.
Yeah.
And in a way where sometimes it's great and sometimes I don't think about how it's going to land and that doesn't go well for yeah. anyone. And there's no point to it then.
Yeah.
Then all I've done is win some battle by myself.
Inside your own head.
In my
head.
Own head.
Well, I told the truth.
And guess what? Then I'm alone on a hill by myself. Like, why don't my friends
bathing
call
in your own
me?
Light.
Yeah, bathing in my light. Exactly. And it's like, right. That's what brought me to it, actually, is the concept of talking about, like, there's a lot to say there and we'll come back to it. Yeah. But if it's just about, like, it can't either be codependently going out and trying to be Mother Teresa without doing your own work or the opposite. I'm doing me, but I'm not concerned with you, right? It's just me.
Well, we're a social animal. We're not just a social animal. We are literally part of a living, breathing system.
Mm.
We are not cut off. If we are one of the oneness, if we are part of the all,
yeah.
if we are an aspect of the unified one,
yeah.
that also means that you and me, Katie,
intertwined.
Are, if I am not taking care of you
yeah.
in a sense, I'm not codependently, but if I'm not,
100%.
If you, you are part of me. You right. are part of my system.
Here's how I know that, right? For people listening, like I'll go home at night and stew on one shitty thing I said to one person or one way that may have been shitty. I'll think maybe it was shitty.
Right.
I don't go to bed and wonder about the kind shit I said to you. I just fucking feel nice.
Right.
But if I was like, that was a little too harsh what I said to that guy at the thing, then I'm like, God damn it. So me and you, no breaking that apart.
Right.
You're with me at night in my bed.
Ooh.
Even if you're not.
Aww.
Oh, penis vagina time. Okay. We did it.
We did
again.
It. Once again.
We've completed. Again.
We have closed. Oh, you,
well, you're both
we're
asking,
fine.
Like, so do I have to close the records?
No.
I actually like to leave them open
great.
Sometimes
Let's
because
leave it
then
open.
I'm all like,
and we'll just close the podcast.
The CAD post.
Bye.
We're done.
What were you asking for? All of the answers. What? All the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.